One of the things I love most about worship, aside from the fact that we're worshiping God, is that he always responds to our worship. You know, when we worship him with a sincere heart to worship him, when we put everything else aside and we put everything else out of our mind and we just tune in and worship him, he always responds to our worship. You can feel his presence. You can feel him with you. You can feel him hearing you worship him. And you can feel his presence in such a magnificent and powerful way that it's not the same as just singing any old song. There is something very, very, very different about when we worship versus when we just sing along with a song. And I love it that he always responds to our heart's cry or to our heart's worship of him. I love that about the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. I love that about the Lord. If you would, go with me in your Bibles tonight to Matthew chapter 9. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oops. And we are going to read verse 17 down to just 17. It's just one verse. We're going to read this. Is everybody ready? There it is. Matthew chapter 9, verse 17 says, "Nor do we put new wine into old wineskins, or else the wineskins break. The wine is spilled and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved." Hallelujah. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that verse a little bit. You know, when Jesus was talking to the people of his day and he was talking about this verse, he wasn't actually trying to give them a lesson on making wine. I mean, from the verse, it may appear that way. It may appear that he is trying to educate them on how to make wine, where to put the new wine. But that's not what he's trying to tell them. Jesus was, the Jewish culture is very deeply steeped in witticisms and little anecdotes and little stories to make a point. This is very cultural of the time, very cultural of the day. And really what Jesus was trying to tell them is there's a new way coming. You can't do the old things, live the old way, and be filled with the new wine. You know, it wasn't working. The way the people were living, the way the Sadducees and the Pharisees were living, it wasn't working. There has been a problem since Adam and Eve were expelled out of the Garden of Eden, because man was always looking to somewhere else besides God. You know, the children of Israel would serve absolutely any god that might have heard them in the moment for whatever it was they wanted to do. Well, you know, I want to be allowed to go do this. There's a Roman god that says it's just fun. I'm going to talk to him about this. Well, you know, there's a Greek god, and he says it's okay to hate my neighbor. So he's, in fact, really excited about war. So I'm going to just pray to him. We have always, from the beginning of time, been looking for an answer that wasn't the right answer because we didn't want to hear the right answer. How many of us have gone to someone with a problem and we're explaining the problem to them and then they give us the answer we don't want? You know, you can do that with your counselors, your psychologists. You can keep going to one until you find one that agrees with you. I know someone who literally did that. They went to enough to where they got the one they wanted, and they said, "You're a great mother. You don't have to worry. You've not done anything wrong. You are intelligent. You are smart. You have just done a fabulous job." Well, that's exactly what I needed to hear. Thank you. Perfect. I'm cured. I'm fixed. The problem is not me. Do you know most of our problems is in fact exactly me? Your problems would not be me. It would be you, just clarifying that. Although I might be some of your problems. I don't know. It could happen. But mostly, we're our biggest enemy. We are our own biggest problem. And we seek answers, but we don't want the answer from God. We want the answer that will please us. And Israel was just like that. And so Jesus is telling them, there was an old way. And you know what? The old way wasn't broken. The old way wasn't bad. The problem was the people's hearts were bad. Do you know, I'm going to try to get this right, so don't hold me to it exactly because I don't have my notes. But Jesus, God gave 10 commandments, that much I know. That God gave 10 commandments. The Jewish people, the scribes and the leaders, took out of the Torah, which is the books of the Old Testament, 613 laws. I don't know, 10 sound really good to me. I might be able to keep most of 10. I've broken a couple. But most of the 10 I could probably manage on a regular basis. But 613? How many of us can remember every one of the 10 commandments at any given moment? Most people won't. Not saying all people can't. I'm just saying most people won't. And so they developed 613 laws out of what God spoke to them in the Torah. And they have to live by those laws. Now, if you break a law, that means you're in sin, correct? And you have to sacrifice to get that sin wiped away. And so Jesus was here telling them, you know, the old way you've been doing things is not working. And the new way, you can't put the old into the new way and have the new way work. Because it's not going to happen. It's not going to work. And you can't take the new way and you can't put it into the old way and make it work. And it's the same way with Jesus. You know, it's not the law that was the trouble. It is our hearts that's the problem. You know, Jesus summed up the law in one verse. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as I have loved you. If you do that, you will not break a single law. But they weren't doing that. Because our relationship with Jesus is about our heart. It's not about keeping the laws. There were Sadducees and Pharisees, I'm sure, keeping the law just fine. Or looking like they were keeping the law. You know, they looked like they were perfect. They walked around like they were perfect. They looked down on everyone else like they were perfect. But their hearts were imperfect. Their hearts were not circumcised. No matter what was done in their body, their hearts were uncircumcised, meaning untouched by the presence of God. They weren't living as they should live. And Jesus was coming and he was telling them through this beautiful little analogy that the old way isn't going to do it for the new wine. The old skin isn't going to work. We have to step into something new. And do you know that we also have to step into what is new? When we come to Christ, we can't stay the same. This body may stay the same. This body has been the same a long time. But our hearts have to change. How we see things have to change. How we feel about things has to change because we have to form our heart to be the Father's heart, to be after the Father's heart. We have to love what he loves and we have to hate what he hates. And we have to allow the Spirit of God to renew us and make us new. But the children of Israel, they just couldn't manage to get there. They had a way. had a way out. They had a way to be restored to the Father. And how many of them couldn't take it? Because they didn't want to give up the old ways. They didn't want to give up the old man. How many of us ever had that pair of shoes? They are so comfortable. They are, oh, they're just your go-to shoes for everything. They're kind of ragged looking. They're really worn out looking. They're really worn, and yet they're what you want to wear every time you put on your blue jeans. You want those shoes. Every time you're going for a hike, or every time you got to go shopping, or every time you're just going to go out and work, and it's those shoes you want to wear. But they're old. That's how we've kind of become with Christ. We want to be comfortable. You know, this old way is fine. I don't need to change. Why does my character need to be the character of Jesus? I mean, after all, I'm not Jesus. Why on earth would I try to be any different than exactly how I am? Well, I'll tell you why. Because Jesus says we are to be like him. Oh, well, come on. We can't be like Jesus. I mean, really, think about it. He's the Son of God. Oh, wait. So are we. We are also the sons of God. And it's not in our own strength that we can be different. It's in the strength of the Holy Spirit. Mike, next verse, please. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's kind of what he's saying in our first verse. You don't put new wine into the old wineskin. He's the way. He's the truth. And he's the life. He's the only way. And we have to be willing to make a change. You know, in our life, we're going to say this beautiful little thing is our life. And we go through experiences like maybe Susie called us ugly. And that kind of taints us a little bit. It adds a stain in our heart. And maybe our school teacher in the second grade held our work up in front of the whole class. I'm not saying this happened to me exactly. And said that we could never do anything because we couldn't write or read good in the second grade. Maybe our mom was a drug addict or an alcoholic. Maybe someone beat us up like five someones and tried to kill us. And these things, all of our experiences, go into the vessel that's called our heart. This is our heart. You know, we start with a really clean and pure, beautiful little heart. We've never experienced anything worse than birth, which we tend to forget as we get older. But all of the experiences we go through, you know, maybe we had a failed marriage. Maybe we had a child pass away. All of these things add up in our heart. And it just begins to fill up our heart, which is like the filter to our eyes. See, and it just gets all stirred up in there. And the more our experiences are horrendous, the darker that filter in our heart gets. Well, sometimes, you know, the old way is, well, we just stuff things. So we're just going to hit this little plunger. And it's just going to trap all this down at the bottom of our heart. We're not going to deal with it. We're not going to look at it. Well, there's residual effect because you can no longer see clean and pure water there in our heart. So there's residual effects from all of our experiences. And do you know that for every bad thing, for every curse spoken, it takes five positives to erase one bad? I had quite a lot of bads. I don't know if for every bad I had a positive. And so our heart is left in this condition. Now the problem with this is,
I can no longer see through it clearly.
Now my perception of all things is tainted by my experiences that left a mark in my heart. Now my perception is off. And you know, everybody perceives. And see, that's the problem. The law was open to someone's interpretation. Out of 10 commandments, they found 613 laws in the Torah to live by. That's a little scary for me, I'm just saying. I thought if I could not break most of the 10, I was doing really good. But the problem is all of our experiences taint our perception, how we perceive things, how we see things. Everyone can look at this picture. We can see the same picture, but we might not see the same thing in the picture. It's open to your interpretation, to your perception, what you perceive to be in the picture. It's a whole lot of beautiful flowers and some stringy little wispy leaves. But if you look closer, there's a woman in the picture. You may see it, you may not see it. It's not necessarily wrong if you don't see it or right if you do see it, because it's all about perception. It's all about what you see, what you understand. And see, that's the problem. What they understood God to be saying wasn't necessarily what he was saying. And that's why we have to allow Jesus to come in. And you see, what Jesus will do with this heart that's messed up and dirty and ugly, he will dump all this out. Next verse, please. And he will take out all of the gunk that's in our hearts. And he will bring us freedom. And he will fill it back up with his presence, with his spirit. But it's not always about what we see. Because we don't always see ourselves how God sees us. We don't see each other how God sees others. We see ourselves how we want to be, what we want to believe we are. But a lot of times we're not really honest with ourselves. But Holy Spirit, he sees to the deepness of our hearts. He looks into the very depth of it. He knows our heart's intent. He can see the bear and the wolf and the eagle. And there's something else I don't remember what. A dog. He can look and see all of that stuff. We might only see the bear, but he sees everything that's under the surface. The word says in John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. That is the enemy's purpose. That is his game plan. It is what he does, and he does it marvelously. But it says, I have come that they may have new life and that they may have it more abundantly. We can't put the new wine that Jesus is bringing into the old skin because it wasn't working. We have to allow him to make us new, not just our spirit, which upon salvation, our spirit is made brand new. But we have to allow him to break the strongholds that have been formed in our lives. We have to allow him to clean out our hearts, the deepest nooks and crannies, and fill it afresh with his spirit and his presence. We need the new wine. We have to become the new wineskin. That means we have to do our part. We have to make changes. We can't become saved and be the same person. If you are the very same person, you behave the very same way, you talk the very same way, you live the very same way, your experience with Jesus is not complete. Because you cannot have Holy Spirit and not begin to make changes and to allow Him to make changes in who you are. Hallelujah. 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 He takes us one way and He weaves into us His Spirit and His presence that makes us totally another way. Totally. I may be the same Janine. I look the same as I've always looked. But my heart is different. You know, before I went to Mexico, my heart was one way. But while I was in Mexico, He totally changed my heart. I'm not the same person that went to Mexico. I'm a totally new Janine. All the fears that I had are absolutely gone. The anxiety attacks, the panic attacks, they're gone. Not because I'm great or I'm strong and I overcame. They're gone because Holy Spirit broke the strongholds that were in my life. Things like fear, anger, hate, jealousy, anything that you don't have control of in your life is a stronghold. And Jesus has the power and the authority to break that stronghold and make you free. We just have to seek Him for it. We have to seek Him for it, and we have to be willing to make changes. If I know that fear is not of God, then I have to remind myself, this is not the Lord, this is not the Lord. I can't give into it simply because I feel it. I can't let it control me simply because I feel it. Next verse, please. The word says in 2 Corinthians 10 through 5, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Even though we live in this life, we are called to live differently than the people around us who don't have Jesus. See, that was the problem with the Sadducees and Pharisees. There was no difference. You know, there might have been an outer appearance of difference, an outer appearance of holiness or being better or being special. But their hearts were left uncircumcised. Their hearts were left unrepentant. Hallelujah. Our whole walk, and I think this comes out in every message I speak in one way or another, our whole walk comes down to love. That's what it's all about. Jesus came to bring His love, His mercy and His grace into our lives. If that's not love, I don't know what is. If giving mercy and grace to those who do not deserve it is not love, I do not know what love is. He came to give us mercy and to give us grace so that we could live and follow after Him. Sure, He knows we're going to fall. Absolutely. The point is not falling. The point is getting up and keeping going. Even after we've fallen. The point is repentance. You know, the word says, repent, that times of refreshing may come. We want to see a revival in our churches. We need a revival in the church. Hallelujah. We need a revival. And the way to a revival is through repentance. Repentance is not an ugly word. Repentance is not something naughty. Repentance doesn't mean that you're naughty or unacceptable. Repentance means your heart is changing. Your heart has been touched by the presence of the Holy Spirit, and you refuse to stay who you were. You refuse to continue to be the old wineskin. You want to be the new, and so you will work. You will do what it takes to be different. You will surrender all the strongholds of your life to Jesus so that you can be what He is calling you
to be. None of us see things exactly the same. None of us interpret the scripture exactly the same. We can read the same scripture and have three different interpretations, or 100 different, depending on how many people we have. But what matters is interpreting it through the Holy Spirit. You know, Israel expected Jesus to come as a warrior who is going to destroy the enemy's hand over them physically. Jesus came as a warrior to give us the power to destroy the enemy spiritually over our lives. Hallelujah. Next verse, please. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The word says in 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds." We've been talking about, what is a stronghold? A stronghold is an area of your life that you are not actually in control of. Remember, jealousy, anger, addictions, hatred, fear, anxiety, all of these things are strongholds. And we battle with different things. Maybe you get behind the steering wheel of a car and you suddenly become incredibly aggressive. Stronghold. Maybe every time you hear somebody sing the national anthem, you want to stand up and punch somebody. There's a stronghold there. I'm telling you. Maybe every time your wife or husband leaves the house, you go crazy worried about what they're going to do and what's going to happen. Stronghold. Maybe you can't stop spending money. Stronghold. All of these little things and areas of our lives where we don't actually have complete control is a stronghold in our life. And the Lord Jesus came to give us power to break down these strongholds. Hallelujah. We want to see our church full. Oh, more than anything on this earth. Hallelujah. I want to see this place filled and on fire, walking in the power. Next verse. And the anointing of the Lord Jesus. But we've got to get our perception taken care of. We've got to let Jesus clean out the vessel of our heart and clean it out. We've got to let go of all of the hurts. We've got to let go of the unforgiveness, which also is a stronghold. We've got to let go of all of the wounds of our life, of all of the things that are keeping us in chains. We've got to let it go and allow Holy Spirit to bring healing. We need to repent. You know, we may be innocent when we become a victim, but something happens when we become a victim and we begin putting up boundaries and walls. We begin to say things like, "No one will ever hurt me again. I will not let anybody get that close to me. No one will ever control me again. I am going to make sure that I am taken care of. I will take care of me. I will make sure nobody can ever hurt me." And when we start doing those things, we walk right into sin. We may have been a victim and sinless, and whatever was done against us, but through becoming a victim, we walked right into sin, right into the stronghold of unforgiveness, right into the stronghold of fear. Because when we set up those kinds of boundaries in our lives and we're trying to shut things around us and close our heart down so nobody can ever get close enough to do that to us again, we're building walls around our heart to stop relationship. And Jesus is all about relationship. First with Him and the Father, and with others. And if we can't have relationship with each other, we are not going to be in good relationship with the Father and Jesus, because we're in sin. It's that easy. So much easier to say than it is to live, right? But we have to change how we perceive things. We have to change what we say. We have to change how we say it. We have to change how we live, because we can't stay the old person. So that, you know, all things have become new. We have to become new. We can't let the old man rule us and control our reactions and our emotions. We've got to take those old shoes off and burn them. Or we're going to keep going back to them. We're going to keep going back to them. We're going to keep going back to what was comfortable. We're going to go back to what was easy. Do you know that not living for Jesus is so much easier than living for Jesus? Well, sure. Because it's always easier to not do the right thing. It's always easier to just explode. It's always easier to run. It's always easier to fight physically. When the word says that our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against spirits and principalities in high places. Our fight isn't physical, it's spiritual. We can't take on a spiritual battle physically and win. We have to change how we see things. We have to change how we understand things. And we can't understand things by our own understanding or by our own judgment. We must seek Holy Spirit. We must use the word. Apply the word. Apply the word. You know, a few years ago, they went around these little bracelets and they had a WWJD. What would Jesus do? And that was such a huge deal. That was just, it just went viral. It went everywhere. But you know what? It's so true. If we'd stop before getting angry, if we'd stop before having a temper tantrum, if we'd stop before we cut someone out of our life, and we asked ourselves, what would Jesus do in this moment? We would live differently. Situations in our lives would have different outcomes. Because we took the time to think about what we were doing compared to what Jesus would do. That's giving up the old shoe. That's giving up the old wineskin and stepping into the new. The word says in 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to obedience of Christ. Do you know not every thought you have is your thought? And not every thought you have is from God. The enemy sticks little thoughts into our head. Remember that little voice that says you'll never be anything? You're not good for nothing. Nobody loves you. Nobody cares about you. Oh, you are too much work. Nobody wants you. You're a mess. Who could love you? I don't even think Jesus could love you. That little voice that talks to you like that, that is not your voice. You recognize it because it's in your head. And everything sounds the same in your head. But that is the voice of the enemy. You know that little voice that you go, what the heck am I thinking? That says, you need to love her. You need to love her past this. That also is not your voice. That would be Holy Spirit, who sounds just like your voice because he also is in your head. That voice that you go, Lord, is this you? Surely you're not talking to me like that, are you, God? You want me to what? You want me to go clean her house? Are you crazy? Really? Whew, I was having a little fancy moment there. I don't even know where those thoughts came from. You mean talk to the woman right there in the frozen food department and pray for her now? Who's talking? Who is that? Where are you getting that thought, Janine? You're a crazy girl. You are talking to yourself again. Sometimes we hear the Lord and we just totally blow it off because God's voice can't sound like that. What do you expect to hear in your head? This is God, Marty. I would like you to pray for her now, please. You know, that may happen. That could happen. But let's do a little social experiment. How many in this room, and there's eight of us, nine of us, how many in this room has actually heard God audibly in a voice say, pick up the money bag and run? David has. So out of nine of us, one has heard God's audible voice. Okay, how many have heard God's voice in your heart speak to you?
There you go. Social experiment complete.
God speaks to us a lot. But we don't hear his voice because we're perceiving our understanding as if God's not going to talk to us like that.
It's got to be this big, booming voice that sets off skyrockets, and you know God has spoken.
Sometimes it's just this tiny little easy nudge. Hey, you should go pray for that lady. Wow, I should go pray for that lady. Okay, I'm going to go pray for that lady. Why not, God? I'm in it. All the way. Full tilt, Lord. Let's go. What we understand. How we understand, how we understand things and how we perceive things, we have to measure it by the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. You know, the Word tells us that the Holy Spirit is enough to teach us what we need to know. We have the power of the Holy Spirit, and He is casting down arguments. If we will listen to Him, we can cast down every argument that exalts itself over the Lord in our lives. I'm going to ram the back of that car. They just almost hit me. Marty, I'm not talking to you. But I could be. Right? Oh, wait, that's not God. Whew! That's not God. I'm not going to listen to that thought. I'm not going to ram that car. I am going to pray for that extremely bad driver. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. And through the Holy Spirit, we can tear down every stronghold. We can tear down every argument that raises itself up in us against what the Word of God has told us we are and how we are to live. We got to let go of the old wineskin, though. Next verse, please. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, I love this. I love this verse. It says, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, please go down through verse 6 all the way. Okay, we need to go to verse number 3, 4, 5, and 6, please. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. And so he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. We're like the clay on the potter's wheel, and the Lord is working us and forming us into his vessel, into his instrument for his purposes. But we can't set ourselves on the wheel. Okay, God, have your way. I want to be whatever you want me to be. I will do whatever you want to do. Oh, wait, that hurts. I'm out of here. Isn't that kind of what we do when the wheel starts a spinning? That hands are slapping on that clay and then digging down into the center of it to form it. Very uncomfortable experience. Very uncomfortable. And then we begin to say, I don't want to do this. Lord, I don't want to be a preacher. I want to be a singer. I want to be on the worship team. I want everybody to hear me sing. What do you mean you called me to be a preacher? I don't like to preach. I don't want to be up there in front of everybody all by myself anyway. Don't we do that? Don't we do that with the Lord? What do you mean pray for people? No. I didn't sign up to pray for people, Lord. I just signed up to be the greeter at the door. I can't really pray for people because, I don't know, there's something about the gifts. I don't know. I think I heard somebody talk about the gifts of the Spirit, and you got to have those gifts to be able to do anything. I don't got those gifts, God. I can just work in the kitchen. And then we're in a service and it's powerful. And we, oh, Lord, I'm yours. I just love you so much. Use me. Use me for your glory. I just mean it with all my heart, Father. Just use me. Except for in the worshiper speaking or praying or children's church. I don't want to clean the bathrooms either. That's undignified. I don't want to clean up after a church full of people for crying out loud. That's just... ugh. I can be a greeter. I like greeting people. Well, unless they're those funky looking or they smell bad. Don't we do that kind of stuff? Isn't God working on us? You know, I remember, I'm not going to name names at all, but I remember a certain tiny, cute little firecracker saying, well, I don't know nothing about evangelizing. I'm not going to be evangelizing. Let me tell you, that cute little firecracker is an evangelist. And she's evangeling all over the states. We've got to change how we see things. We've got to change our understanding. We're not doing this in our own strength. She even knows when these things start flying out of her mouth, she knows who it is. And you know, even if it wasn't God, she'd know the difference too. Because, you know, when you're going along, you know, Peter, he was telling Jesus who he was. You are the Christ. You are the Christ. And then all of a sudden he says, oh, you can't die. You're not going to die. And Jesus is like, whoa, get behind me, Satan. We have a lot of get behind me, Satan moments. You know, where we're in the spirit one moment, we know, woo, we know God is moving. This is God. Woo, we know God is speaking. And then in the next breath, we're negating it all because it's not comfortable to our flesh. That old wineskin gets stretched a little too. We got to get rid of that wineskin. We got to remember we're the new. Who? The new has the power. The new has the strength. You know, the old wineskin is old. It's used. It's fragile. Do you know that is us without Jesus? We're just old and fragile and used up, and we've just got barely nothing left to give. But then Jesus comes in and suddenly we're renewed. We're strong. We're young. We can do anything. We've got to change how we see things. We've got to see through the Holy Spirit. Next verse, please. You are the clay in the hand. Allow the Father to form you. Isaiah 64:8 says, or is that 64:3? 64:8 says, but now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. And you are potter. And all we are, the work of your hand. That seemed wrong somehow. All we are is the work of the hand of God. That's it. That's what we are. We are his handiwork. We are his vessel. And he sees into the deep places of you and is making you new day by day. Holy Spirit is making you new day by day, thought by thought. Allow the Lord to tear down the strongholds. Allow him to form you and to make you into his vessel. Because it's what he's doing. And even clear back in the book of Isaiah and then Jeremiah, God was trying to say this same thing to the children of Israel. Allow me to shape you, to mold you, to make you into my children, into my instruments. And they just kept going the opposite direction. And now here Jesus comes along and he's giving another analogy. You can't put new wine into the old wineskin. The old way wasn't working because their hearts were uncircumcised. Hallelujah. We can't live for Jesus and for ourselves or for the world. We can't live for Christ and stay in our old wineskins. We have to allow him to make us new. We have to allow him to clean out our hearts and fill it with new, pure, clean, sparkling presence of the Lord. And he'll take all of these wounds and all of these heart strongholds, and he'll take them away. He'll heal your brokenhearted. He'll do everything he has promised you. All you have to do is surrender to him. Surrender to him. Are we surrendered to him tonight? Are we surrendered to his voice? Do we hear his voice and we say instantly, how high, Jesus? Where do you want to go? Do we hear his voice and do we run to do what he's asking us to do, or do we kind of go kicking and stomping or run like Jonah? I've done a little both. Hallelujah. But the Lord wants to change our understanding and our perception and our interpretation of things. He wants us to interpret the word through the Holy Spirit, through love, because Holy Spirit, the Lord leads us through peace and love, always through peace and joy. Peace, joy, love. Those are the things that the Lord will lead us through if we will allow him to. Hallelujah. Stand with me tonight. Hallelujah. I don't know what your strongholds, what the strongholds in your life may be if you're watching here tonight. But the Lord knows, you know. If you battle with an area in your life, you absolutely know the area. You know what it is. And you know, you can just raise your arms to the Lord and you can just say to the Lord, Father, I surrender these strongholds to you. And just say it, Lord, I surrender my fear to you. Lord, I break the power in the name of Jesus by the Holy Spirit of fear over my life. And I rebuke it, Father. And I choose your truth and your peace. And the Lord will do it. It's that simple. The power of the Holy Spirit lives in you and me. And he is there to tear down everything that rises against the word of God. He is there to tear down every stronghold that keeps us from becoming who God wants us to be. You can say a simple prayer right there in your living room, wherever you're watching from. You can pray and you can believe that God will do what you are asking. Hallelujah. Let's just all say a prayer together. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I receive your word tonight, oh God. And Lord, I surrender to you the areas or the strongholds of my life, Father, where I am not walking as I should be in your spirit. Lord, the areas of my flesh that I battle, Father, unforgiveness, hate, self-righteousness, fear, sickness, and disease. Lord, these areas that I fight, I surrender them to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask you by your Spirit to break these strongholds off of my life in the name of Jesus. And I ask you, Father, to help me walk in all that you are calling me to walk, and help me to be all that you are calling me to be, Father, because, Lord, I want to be who you want me to be. I want to be your reflection in this earth. I want to be your light in the dark places, Jesus. Holy Spirit, work in me. Break these strongholds in the name of Jesus. Lord, I cast them down by your word. Your word says to be not afraid, that you are always with me. Your word says that Jesus gives me his peace. Your word says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Your word says that I am loved and I am not abandoned, that I am your child. Hallelujah. Your word says that I am forgiven and I am made the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I praise your name. I thank you for working in me. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I thank you for tuning in this evening. God bless you. Thank you for your faithfulness to watch us. And I just ask God to bless the rest of your evening and your week. And we hope to see you Sunday morning at 10 a.m. here at A New Beginning. God bless you and good night.